The FBI arrested one of its own yesterday and charged Earl Edwin Pitts with selling U.S. intelligence information to Russia. Pitts is a lawyer. When he was arrested, he was working in the FBI's Office of Counsel. He is a career agent with the FBI for 13 years and apparently a spy from very early on in that career. Pitts' arrest is only the latest case of a spy discovered inside an American agency, given the responsibility of protecting American secrets. Within the last 2 years, first Aldrich Ames, then Harold Nicholson, both career officers in the CIA, have been arrested and charged with spying. Walter Pincus covers national security for The Washington Post. He joins us. Welcome.
Good evening.
Earl Edwin Pitts, as your newspaper reported this morning, was very well placed to be valuable to first the Soviets and then to the Russians in the late 80s because he was assigned to the FBI's counterintelligence unit in New York. Would you explain how that works?
Well, each intelligence agency, whether it's U.S. or foreign, is very concerned about being infiltrated, having the opposition put somebody inside your own ranks or gather information. And they've both, in the case of the Soviet Union and the United States, played this game in which they attempt to either recruit or entice other people who are doing counterintelligence because they're the ones who know what's going on inside your opponent's intelligence service.
Maybe you ought to explain the division of labor between the CIA and the FBI here in the United States. The CIA doesn't actually spy here in the United States, and the FBI does have considerable intelligence responsibilities inside but not outside.
Correct. The FBI is essentially in charge of security within the United States, and in doing that, it both runs investigation of possible espionage, and it also recruits foreign officials who are here to see if they can tell them about things going on inside the United States. The CIA operates outside the United States, but it can recruit foreign agents inside the United States. It cannot carry out security investigations except with regard to its own personnel.
So a person who was in the counterintelligence unit, as Pitts was, he is essentially a spy catcher.
He is attempting to protect American assets and the American intelligence community. But he does know, in some cases, where people, say, if in this case in the late 80s, Soviets in the United States were cooperating with the FBI.
I believe that that Mr. Pitts provided his customers with a fairly comprehensive list of every Russian living in the United States and whether they had or had not or had the potential to cooperate with the United States government.
I think the list, in effect, gave the FBI's analysis of this person and which part of the FBI was covering that particular Soviet official. We were covering almost every Soviet official inside the United States.
Is that valuable information to know if you are a foreign power?
It's helpful. The irony of it all, and this is, it's not fun to say, but it is kind of a game. The underlying point is that all the Soviets that were in this country felt they were being followed, so that it was, in this case, all it did was sort of identify which of the FBI units were doing it. So it's added information, but they're always on their guard, and they all felt they were being followed anyway, and they were.
The extraordinary thing, among many extraordinary things about this story and that it makes it all seem very cinematic to me, is that the man who put the FBI on to Pitts, who revealed him, was, in fact, the Russian who had recruited him.
Well, although the FBI hasn't come forward yet, I think it's possible to put together possibly what happened. This comes out of the Aldrich Ames case, because in the late 80s and early 90s, the CIA found that they had lost a lot of people in the 80s, and they hadn't really focused on it, but they began to worry about whether they had a mole. And beginning in late 92, early 93, you had the first really joint investigative effort in which both the FBI and the CIA look back at all their lost cases, all the times where something happened where they had, say, infiltrated Soviet or Russian foreign service, and something went wrong. They lost an agent. An operation didn't come off. And during this process, the FBI discovered that it had a run of lost operations in the New York area in the late 80s. And they went back and looked at who served inside the Soviet mission during that period of time. And it's my understanding they went out and tried to find those people and recruit them. And sure enough, they found somebody who was there who turned out to be the person who Pitts first approached in 87. And he agreed to become an informant for the FBI.
Now, the FBI got Pitts with a sting operation. They pretended to be Russians and pretended to be reactivating him from the time from the 92 period.
By bringing out the one man he approached in 1987, the same person who set him up the first time, they were then able to set him up a second time. And in the first meeting, they gave him $15,000 and he took it. The sad part of it is that there were probably, and I think the Ames case showed it, there probably were more people out there supplying information to the Soviets for money than we ever knew about. And we're going to slowly discover them as they're able to make these cases by having somebody who is on the other side testify and name them. And this is a perfect example because they had to entrap him rather than just arrest him, because he then, through his speaking to the FBI, who was acting as a Russian agent, confessed to his past espionage. And that's what will be the centerpiece of the prosecution.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Walter Pincus covers national security issues for The Washington Post.